I want to read four short verses. The first one in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, because it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. And then back a page, the first chapter, verse 18 of chapter 1. Knowing that ye have been redeemed, not by corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world. Psalm 49 and verse 8. For the redemption of their soul is costly and must be given up forever. And lastly, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45, again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And having found one pearl of great value, he went and sold all whatever he had and bought it. I want to speak tonight, dear friends, about a precious Saviour, precious blood, a precious soul, and a precious pearl. First of all, I want to talk to you about a precious Saviour. The subject of the glad tidings, dear friends, is not the preacher, it's not the church or congregation or company. The subject of the glad tidings is Jesus, the blessed Son of God. And I trust at the end of this gospel meeting that everyone here can say that he is precious to me. First of all, dear friend, he is precious to God. Where we started, it speaks of what God has done. He laid in Zion a cornerstone. Elect, that means chosen. God chose Jesus, if I can put it that way. Precious. God knew what he was going to do. God, you know, is never taken by surprise, dear friend. When sin came in, as we read in the beginning of the scriptures, God had the answer. And God always takes the initiative. And right from the very start, when sin came in, there was a blessed answer proposed. That answer, at the dawn of history, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Chosen of God, precious, because there was no one, and there will be no one ever like Jesus. The only one who pleased God entirely. Can you say, dear friend, that you've pleased God even a little bit? But the one I want to present to you in the glad tidings pleased God wholly. The hymn says, every footstep gave God fresh delight. So much so that he could open the heavens, couldn't he, and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. He was precious to God, still is. He's at God's right hand, having accomplished the work of redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ is sat down at the right hand of God. The object of the glad tidings, dear friend, is that he may become precious to you. Because it goes on in the scripture that I read to speak, it says, to you therefore who believe is the preciousness. Or I actually like the authorized version, which says, to you that believe, he is precious. Dear friend, is Jesus precious to you? I can remember a time when he wasn't precious to me. I'd heard about him. Thank God for being brought up in a Christian household. But you know, there needs to come a time when the Lord Jesus becomes precious to you. And it's interesting, if you read it there, it's because of our trust in him. To you, therefore, who believe is the preciousness. In fact, sorry, going back, it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame." The note there to him is quite interesting. It says, "Or trust in it," that is, the stone, Christ. "On" implies reliance on, confidence in, the mind looking to another with trust. Is that what you're doing tonight as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned? To putting your trust in him. You see, it's not just a mental assent. I might believe in the theory of relativity, but I don't understand it. You might believe in many things, but belief in the scriptures is always more than mental assent. It is putting your trust, committing your life to, relying upon. Have you tonight, if never before, put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Why is he worthy of your trust? Because he pleased God entirely. And for that reason, he became a perfect sacrifice. You see, God requires a sacrifice for sin. You see that throughout the whole of the Old Testament. But every sacrifice in the Old Testament was really imperfect. It was just a picture of that perfect sacrifice to come. But sin has to be dealt with. It has to be judged. God is righteous and holy. And therefore he requires a sacrifice. Right from the beginning, I've spoken of the beginning, you know, coats of skin were provided. The shedding of blood, the death of another. God had made it very clear from the start that sin had to be atoned for. A sacrifice had to be made. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's sacrifice. There was a ram caught in the thicket. It says, on the mount, Jehovah will provide. And that's the good news of the gospel, dear friend, that although you are a sinner and deserve hell, God himself has provided the lamb. He has provided the sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. There is no need of another. No man, no priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice needed. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so, if I understand that the Lord Jesus, when he died, he bore my sins. It says, he bore our sins. How can I say my sins? In his body on the tree. I trust in that. I rely on it for time and for eternity. I stake my life on it. Do you have that trust in Jesus tonight? What are you trusting in? You know, this is a very uncertain world. Politically, socially, economically, religiously. Who can you trust? Thank God. God has provided the answer in someone who we can trust absolutely. And we can trust his work absolutely. Because Jesus cried, "It is finished." That work that the Father gave him to do was completed utterly. And therefore I can put my whole trust in the Lord Jesus and his finished work. And when I do that, dear friend, what happens? He becomes precious to me. Maybe the Lord Jesus is not precious to you at the moment. You know, when he was here, they despised him. They turned their faces. You read Isaiah chapter 53. They turned away. They couldn't look at him. And that's how I am naturally. I don't want Jesus. But as I'm convicted of my sin, and as I understand God's way of salvation, and all that he's provided for my salvation, I put my trust in another. I look to him. I look away from myself. I think one of the scriptures, Hebrews, the note in Hebrews 12 speaks of that, of looking away from myself. You know, people, they're bogged down with sin and worry and failure, and they look within. But the glad tidings The good news is that you're to look away from yourself, look unto another. Look at the Lord Jesus there, dying for sin, shedding his precious blood to atone a holy and precious, holy and righteous God. So we need to look to him and be saved. Have you made that faith? That, you know, it's the obedience of faith. You need to make that step of faith. It may be just a tiny step. God is not asking you to do anything grand this evening. But you just need, in faith and in repentance, to take that step. And God will answer your prayer. And he will give you the faith. Because even faith itself is a gift of God. Think of the man who said, "Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief." He wasn't very sure, but he knew where to go. And the gospel is preached tonight that you may know where to go. Where do you need to go? You need to go to Jesus, the one who bore our sins in his body on the tree. And having made that initial faith in him, then he becomes precious, you know. And as the days go by, he becomes more precious. Is Jesus precious to you? I read the verse before in the first chapter. It says of precious blood. How much blood has been shed, innocently maybe or willfully, throughout the ages. You think of the Old Testament, the sacrifices, you know, and how much blood was shed. But it only speaks in Scripture of one whose blood was precious. Only one. It says here, you're redeemed by precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My Saviour is worthy of trust. He shed his precious blood. And we need to believe it. You know, I was thinking of the Passover. They put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and the lintel. Now, why did God say that? In one sense, God knew the lamb was slain in the house. He knew the blood was shed in the house. Why did they have to put it on the doorpost and the lintel? Was it for God to see? Well, it was in one sense, because it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. But it was also that the people inside might obey. Because the gospel is a preach for the obedience of faith. And you know, it says in the scripture that the blood was to be applied by the branch of hyssop. And the man having, the family having killed the lamb, and his blood having been shed, the man of the house, he would get the branch of hyssop and he would daub it on the lintel and the doorpost. And there it stood as a witness that that household had trusted what God would do. The gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. And I need to trust and to demonstrate my trust in him so that everyone can see that I'm trusting in the blood. You know, if they went outside of the house, or if they didn't have the blood, then there was no safety. Only judgment awaited if they went outside the house, or if there was no blood. Maybe a householder thought, well, there's no point, I'm an Israelite. God knows I'm an Israelite. I don't need to do it. Dear friend, the gospel is preached that you may obey the gospel. And one of the things is that you should repent of your sins and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that lamb that was slain. It says here, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world. As I said at the beginning, God had the answer all along. He knew what he was going to do. The remedy was at hand. In fact, it says to Cain, sin lieth at the door. There was a remedy even for Cain if he'd taken it. Tonight, dear friend, there's a remedy for you. No matter what your situation might be, you're a sinner and you need salvation. You may be brought up in a Christian household, like the Israelites. My mum and dad, they're people of God. I'm safe. No, you're not safe, and yet, unless you're trusting in the blood. Are you trusting in the blood of Jesus tonight? How precious is it to you? Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels. Shed for sinners. Is it shed for me? Thank God, it's shed for me. Hope each one here can say that. You know, they were saved when the destroying angel went over. The blood was there as a demonstration, and they were safe. May you know the safety of sheltering under the blood of Jesus. I read in Psalm 49, you know, it's a wonderful thing that God values your soul. I suppose I was going to say today, but in a sense, throughout history, men's souls have been cheap, haven't they? In men's eyes. Think of the wars. You think of dictators like Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin. The souls of men were cheap in men's eyes. Valueless. Can I tell you, dear friend, tonight, your soul is precious. It's of value to God. He created you. You, in a sense, belong to Him. He's your you are His property. But because of sin, distance has come in. You have transferred your allegiance to the God of this world. He's captivated your heart. But the gospel goes out that you may know that a Redeemer has been provided. So it says here, for the redemption of their soul is costly. Have you ever considered what it costs God to save you, to redeem you? It costs the life of His beloved Son. It costs the precious blood that He shed. You look at a tramp on a doorstep. Filthy. You think how anyone can get in such a state. God loves him. The Lord Jesus died that he might be saved. His precious blood was shed that man may be redeemed. Because that life is of value to God. No matter who you think you might be tonight, dear friend, your life is of value to God. So much so that He sent His beloved Son. For God so loved the world. I like that word so. Because in that word so, it demonstrates how much God has loved you and me. God so loved the world that He gave His only beloved Son. That whosoever, yes, that's the tramp, whosoever. But it's also you and me, dear friend. The redemption of the soul is costly. We will never know how much it cost the Lord Jesus to go that way. We will never know how much it cost God to provide such a wonderful Saviour. And it must be given up forever. That precious blood will never need to be shed again. Some religions, things have to be worked out over and over again. I present a gospel to you, dear friend, where things have been completed. He was offered once. His precious blood was shed once. If you have doubts about your salvation, dear friend, you need not, because he said it is finished. That blood stands, it speaks. Now, it talks about speaking better than Abel. That blood speaks now, and it speaks of God's righteousness, his holiness. It speaks of the efficacy of that precious blood. It's enough for God. And if it's enough for God, dear friend, it's enough for me. What peace, what safety and security that gives me, as I trust in that precious blood. Dear friend, the redemption of your soul was so costly. Infinitely costly. Your mum and dad, your friends, they love you. No one has loved you like the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cost it was to him. Thine the cost, thine the suffering, ours the never-ending blessing. May you know what it is to be redeemed, brought back to God. Precious. You know, a saint redeemed is a precious vessel. Their life is precious. Their death is precious. It's interesting, isn't it? It says in the scriptures, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Because it's a witness to a work complete. That one who died in Christ, it's a work complete. It's a chapter closed. It's a new chapter in glory opened. The work of Jesus sufficient, so that you become precious. And everyone that comes to the Lord Jesus in faith, repentance and faith, is precious to him. And that brings me on to the last scripture. This is another one that just speaks to me of the preciousness of the pearl. You are an individual, but you know, there is a pearl which is precious to God. There's a pearl which is precious to the Lord Jesus. You cannot, and of course we know that this pearl speaks of the church, the assembly. You cannot earn your way into that vessel. You can't buy your way in. You can't join like they do in societies of men. You can't inherit it through your lineage. There's only one way you can come into this great company. That's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone to whom Jesus is precious, and to whom his precious blood is precious, forms part of this pearl for which the Lord Jesus sold everything that he had. Everything. You know, we sometimes we give stintingly and sparingly, sometimes we give generously. The Lord Jesus gave all, not only to secure you, but to secure this wonderful company. And the moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus as Saviour and Lord, and you're baptised by his Spirit into this one body, you belong to it. That's the only way in. Are you a member of that august company? Can't see it today in its completeness. God can. And soon, very soon, the Lord is coming, and everyone that belongs to him, that forms part of this vessel, this company, is going to be called up into the air. Are you going to be there, or are you going to be left behind? Is the Lord Jesus precious to you? He's coming for his own. He's coming for his church, his bride, his assembly. He's coming for this pearl that he obtained at the greatest of costs. If the the Lord Jesus came tonight, dear friend, to claim that this vessel for himself, would you be there or would you be left behind? I just leave it with you tonight, dear friend. Is Jesus precious to you? May he be so, now if never before, for his name's sake.